836, let's check in with our good friend Dick Weiss, media critic, a longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He's with stlbeacon.org, and he's our media critic, joins us every Monday. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, McGraw. How are you?
Great. So Friday afternoon, when everyone's getting ready for, I guess it was Thursday afternoon, everyone's getting ready for their 4th of July weekend, Sarah Palin comes out with this announcement that she's stepping down as governor of the state of Alaska and was giving her basically her 2 weeks' notice. When that happened, there was all sorts of speculation about some other shooter drop, some other FBI investigation, so much so that the FBI had to come out on Saturday and say, hey, she is not under investigation. I was somewhat offended that these credible media outlets were going with all of this rumor and speculation.
Yeah. I just thought what she did was kind of baffling, because it was hard to tell whether she was dropping out to prepare for a run for president or whether she was just dropping out because she was sick of the whole thing. The statement that she gave, which led, I think, to some of the speculation, was kind of incoherent. And I think that was one of the problems. I think she wrote it herself.
Well, clearly what she did was bizarre, and everybody wants to know, is there a bigger story? But how, you know, do you really go with these credible news outlets or with all this speculation and rumor when it's just that, speculation and rumor?
Yeah, no, I don't think I would.
Right.
I think the responsible thing to do is to check it out. Todd Purdom had written a very scathing piece. He's a former reporter of the New York Times, now works for the for Vanity Fair, a very scathing piece in Vanity Fair about her. But it had never alleged that she was under investigation, federal investigation. And if anybody had done the research up to that point, it would have been him. And he was as surprised as anyone when she withdrew. Now, I understand that the lieutenant governor said that basically, he thought she was getting out because she had something like $2 million in legal bills defending herself against ethics violations.
Right.
And ethics violations frequently do not rise to criminal allegations.
Right. Yeah, she's battling
As far as you can go with this at this point.
Yeah, she said that she's got, there have been 15 different ethics violation, ethics investigations going on, and almost $500,000 in legal fees already. All right, so what's this story with the Washington Post got into some hot water over the weekend?
Yeah, speaking of ethics, the Washington Post, the vaunted publication in our nation's capital, looking for a new line of business. You know, things are tough for newspapers, and they wanted to put together some get-togethers for lobbyists and trade groups, offering them access to the Obama administration and their own reporters in a kind of an off-the-record get-together. And they were going to charge as much as $250,000 for this off-the-record access. Well, when the newsroom got wind of this, they said, no way, we're in the business of selling access, especially to the people that we cover. And the publisher said that she was didn't quite mean to have it come off that way, and quickly backed off of this plan. And,
which
blamed it on a marketing executive.
Well, when a chief executive says it wasn't supposed to be this way, that means, whoops,
yeah.
we spun it much better in our meetings before this.
Right. And the sad thing was, for the Washington Post, as beset as they are, and as many media are, by new media, Politico.com broke the story. Which is run by a couple people who used to work at the Washington Post. It's gotten a lot of traction as a great online site for politics.
Right.
And so they had it broken. And, of course, the New York Times was only too happy to jump on it within minutes after that. So not a good week for the Washington Post and, you know, the people who gave us Watergate and Woodward and Bernstein and a lot of great reporting over the years.
What I don't understand is, how are they going to get members of Obama's administration to go along with this?
That's a good question. I guess they had some indications that, you know, the Obama administration does play ball when it with the media when it suits their interests. They certainly, you know, they had NBC News over to follow them around for several days, making them look pretty good. So I guess they could get some cooperation bringing people together. But
yeah, but I'm not so sure the you know Secretary of Defense is going to go to a meeting where he knows people paid $250,000. To go and have inside access to the guy. That seems like it's talking about ethics.
Yeah, it doesn't seem kosher, does it?
Yeah, no. All right, Dick Weiss, Munich Critic, what are your thoughts as we continue on this Michael Jackson odyssey?
Well, I thought it was interesting. You know, last week we talked about, you know, at least in my opinion, that I thought the thing was covered far too much and far too great detail in general by the mainstream media, certainly the entertainment. It's the bread and butter of the entertainment media. And lo and behold, Pew, a think tank, did a survey, and it says nearly 2 in 3 Americans say news organizations gave too much coverage to the story. So apparently 2/3 of Americans agreed with me. And then they said that, however, they felt that the media struck the right balance between reporting on Jackson's musical legacy and the problems in his personal life. How did you feel about that? You feel like that was...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's clearly part of the story. I mean, there's two different stories of him, his pop status and then his off-the-field troubles, if you will.
Yeah, I thought that. I thought things were pretty fair. I think a lot of people were complaining that we were paying too much attention to his bizarreness, but there you go. But I think the most interesting thing was that the survey showed that 8 in 10 African-Americans said they followed the news about Jackson's death very closely compared with 22% of whites. That is a huge disparity. That's OJ-like.
Right, yeah.
Numbers. So obviously of great interest to very many people, but more so to African-Americans.
Yeah, we had Sam Donaldson on the show last Tuesday, and we were talking about the media coverage of Michael Jackson, and he pointed out, Dick Weiss, media critic, you'll be interested to know, that the day Elvis died, CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite was the largest and most watched newscast. Do you know that CBS Evening News didn't lead with Elvis's death?
What was the big story that day?
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't Elvis. We're not talking about it 25 years later.
I guess not. That'd be interesting to go back and find the front page of the New York Times and see what else was going on that day.
But,
yeah, that's interesting.
You know, considering you said last week that, you know, NBC, the most watched nightly newscast now, devoted, you know, 15 minutes to Michael Jackson's death. Yeah. All right, Dick Weiss, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, I have Todd Purdom's piece on Sarah Palin up on the site. You can go over there and find the link, and it's quite a lengthy story. You'll be enthralled and enchanted for about 30 minutes reading that piece.
I've put it aside at least 3 different times to read it, and I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. All right, what's going on in the Beacon we should know about?
Beacon, we are getting all over the healthcare story, and Bob Joyner has a great piece about all the things going on, particularly in Missouri, in terms of healthcare. You know, healthcare delivery is really local. You think, you know, it's a national problem, but the way healthcare is done, doctors and providers, it's really idiosyncratic. And so you can have the most expensive healthcare in a place like McAllen, Texas, and the cheapest, the most effective healthcare in another place. Missouri is kind of in the middle. Bob writes about that and all the issues that come up with that. And a lot of people, something like 750,000 Missourians, going without health insurance. Many of them, you know, can't get it through their jobs or lost it because they got divorced, and they're just hoping that they don't get sick.
Yeah, that's at stlbeacon.org. There's a story, I think it was in the New York Times today. I can't remember now exactly where I read it, but there's a number, and they don't know how much, but there's a number of Americans who are choosing not to buy health insurance. Usually young, usually single, but they would much rather spend their money on something else. So that's another issue, I guess.
Yeah, it's expensive. Just keep your fingers crossed that you don't get sick, and if you do, you're ruined.
Yeah. Dick Weiss, continue your trip, and we'll see you back here in a couple weeks.
Okay, take care.
Dick Weiss, our media critic extraordinaire, weissright.com. That's weissright.com. He's a longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, now runs weissright.com. Also a contributing editor to stlbeacon.org, stlbeacon.org. Ladies and gentlemen, this weekend I had a couple of to-do